Starting 6 centuries ago, the Western male elite has built a viciously patriarchal world by making war on women and exploiting them mercilessly. The profits of the global capitalist system have been made possible by the genocide and plunder of women.
This documentary is about how women have been colonized by men and the many ways in which they resist this.
You're listening to Women, the Oppressed Majority, a three-part radio documentary series. I'm Kristen Schwartz.
I'm Asad Ismi. This is A World Without Patriarchy, the final episode in our series. For the next half hour, women speak about matriarchy, equality between the sexes, and their resistance to male domination.
In spite of the massive oppression, violence, and exploitation women have been subjected to by men, they have fought back and achieved many significant victories for themselves and for humanity in general. In our final episode, women discuss the many examples of their resistance to male domination and what has been learned from these struggles. They recommend ways of ending patriarchy and highlight the economic and political changes and those in relations between men and women required to accomplish this. They propose alternative systems to replace the male-dominated one.
Women played a prominent role in the Russian Revolution, the Chinese Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, the Vietnamese Revolution, and the defeat of Nazi Germany, amongst many other struggles. They continued to be in the forefront of political opposition to imperialism and capitalism all over the world, making crucial contributions to human liberation. Not surprisingly, in male-dominated societies, women's significant contributions to advancing important social change often go unappreciated.
Dr. Heide Goettner-Abendroth is a leading author on matriarchal studies. She has taught philosophy at the University of Munich in Germany for 10 years and has published several books on matriarchal societies and culture. Such societies exist today at the local levels in Asia, Africa, and the Americas. She points out that there is no major violence in matriarchal societies because economic inequality and exploitation are absent.
At first, I think it's a very interesting point that we can see matriarchal societies as not having violence against women and children. It's a very interesting point for us today in a world where violence is so much increasing, especially against women and children. But how do matriarchal society implement this? This is a question. What is most important, I think, is that they don't have an economy of accumulation. The economy is one that is based on leveling different levels of wealth, which can occur by good luck with a harvest or good luck with a trade. Then they have a wonderful idea, wonderful principle to balance this wealth, for when they have their many annual festivals, those who are better off with their wealth are the one who invites the whole community. And they make the festival for everyone, and they give away the wealth in a gift-giving way. So they support each other in this way. So you don't have really poor people, and you don't have really rich people, for this distribution and circulation of wealth as gifts among each other keeps them on an equal level, also economically. And so another reason for violence is not there. You have not the economic tensions between groups or between individuals, which very often occurs violence in our societies. So they have no need to be violent against, especially not against women and children. Maybe that men sometimes quarrel with each other, but this is not very serious.
According to Goettner-Abendroth, matriarchy does not mean female domination, but rather gender equal participation in political and social decision-making facilitated by women. This political participation also helps ensure that there is no major violence in matriarchal societies.
I researched matriarchal societies for many years through all my life, and from still extant existing matriarchal societies, I could learn that they are organizing their social affairs in a gender, they practice gender egalitarian, it's a gender egalitarian society. They practice equality between the genders and respect between the generations. And equality between genders is not a formal thing as we have it here in our democracies, but the equality is implemented because each gender has its own sphere of action, its own sphere of economy, of social action, of rituals. And then these different, two different spheres in these societies are combined in a mutual beneficial way. And there is what makes them matriarchal is that the mothers are at the centers, not as rulers, but as the facilitators who keep the society together. In, for example, when they make their decisions, they do it in a consensus way, discussing their decisions in the clan houses, in the villages, and on the regional level, all in by a system of complex councils, until a region has reached unanimity for each decision, or a clan house, or a village. And when you have these consensus-based societies in politics, a class and domination of one gender by the others and other and hierarchy cannot develop. And so everybody has its place and has its possibility to do express his or her opinions, has the opportunity to take part in the councils, and to bring all this together in a balanced way. You cannot. So why violence is not necessary in such a society is not necessary.
Matilda Lopez Arpuchana is a leader of the Wayuu, a matriarchal indigenous nation living in Guajira province of Colombia, South America.
Our women are committed to the preservation of our culture. Most importantly, our matrilineal practices.
La línea matrilineal entre nosotros define muchas cosas. Define hasta los conflictos internos que tenemos dentro de las comunidades indígenas.
Matrilineality defines many of our practices. It is also used to address and resolve internal conflicts in our communities. For example, what we consider family amongst us is that which is traced through our mother's side. In other words, our relatives on our father's side are not considered immediate family. Our direct close family is made up of all descendants of all of our female relatives, all their sons and daughters, and their children, and so on. It is not like other cultures and nations where everyone is family. And this definitely does affect and influence the social and political structures governing the Wayuu people. Here in the Guajira province, the majority of leaders and officials are women, and our indigenous leaders play a very important role in society. They are the ones advocating and fighting for the rights of Aboriginal peoples. We, the women, are the ones tasked with that work.
Nosotros estamos cumpliendo con eso. Bueno, la relación entre hombres y mujeres, pues básicamente es normal, porque cada uno cumple un rol dentro de la sociedad. El hombre se dedica a cumplir con el rol.
The relationship between men and women is understood as normal. Everyone has a role. Men play their part and do as it is expected of them, and we women have roles to fulfill. That of mothers, sisters, and daughters. Women, for the most part, dedicate themselves to artisanal work. A great majority are weavers involved in the production of bags and hammocks. As for the men, those who live in the coastal areas are fishermen. We do also have men who are artisans, as well as herders of sheep and other livestock.
De cordero, de chivos. Entre nosotros los indígenas casi no se ve el abuso o el maltrato intrafamiliar. Casi eso no se ve. Pero no es que quiera decir que no exista. Sí existe, pero no es tan común.
Domestic abuse is rare in indigenous communities in our region. I will not deny that it does occur, but it is not as common as it is in other societies. We also have very strong rules in place forbidding the abuse of children.
Siempre estamos preservando de que ellos tengan las mejores condiciones con respecto a lo del maltrato. A los niños y niñas, nosotros tenemos leyes muy claras que protegen la vida de los niños y la integridad física de los niños.
Most impressively, under the leadership of women, the Wayuu successfully fought off the Spanish invaders who, along with the Portuguese, killed up to 80 million indigenous people in South and Central America and the Caribbean by the end of the 16th century. Therefore, the Wayuu have been able to preserve their culture, language, and identity to this day.
Bueno, a la llegada de los españoles aquí, a La Guajira, nosotros básicamente fuimos un pueblo.
When the Spanish arrived in the region, now known as Guajira, our nation fought back, and our ancestors resisted the conquest. The Wayuu, our nation, is one of the largest indigenous groups in Latin America, with a substantial amount of members. Unlike other indigenous groups in our country, our nation resisted the colonial project. Yet, despite our large number, approximately more than 400,000 in this province alone, and many settlements on Colombian and Venezuelan soil, the Spanish language did permeate our communities post-contact.
Territorio colombiano, territorio venezolano. Y también se vio muy permeado la lengua, las tradiciones nuestras a la llegada de los españoles. Pero...
However, we still managed to preserve our language and cultural practices. 90% of the Wayuu speaks the language and preserves the culture, wears the traditional clothing and maintains the cultural practices. We are committed to keeping our culture alive. Our children speak Wayuu Naki, we adults speak Wayuu Naki, even though we continue to live within the larger non-indigenous society. We are committed to the preservation of our culture. There are many members of our nation who don't speak Spanish, only Wayuu.
Nosotros todavía conservamos mucho nuestra cultura. Muchos indígenas no hablan el español. Solo hablamos nuestra lengua.
Right.
women have not only saved an indigenous nation in South America, they have been leaders in saving the entire continent from rapacious capitalist exploitation. Women have played a major role in bringing about the Latin American Revolution, the coming to power of 10 left-wing governments in South and Central America since 1998. These governments have implemented the greatest redistribution of wealth in the region's history, providing millions of jobs, free medical care and education, land reform and public subsidies, thereby lifting tens of millions of people out of poverty.
The Latin American Revolution has been partly led by three women presidents who rule and ruled three prominent countries in South America. Dilma Rousseff is currently president of Brazil, Michelle Bachelet is president of Chile, and Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner was president of Argentina for 8 years, from 2007 to the end of 2015, when she stepped down. Dr. Maria Paez Victor is a Venezuelan sociologist and an ardent supporter of her country's leading role in the Latin American Revolution.
I'd like to talk about the Venezuelan Revolution first, the Bolivarian Revolution, because it was, most importantly, had a prominent role of women in its process. This was very much recognized by President Hugo Chavez. He famously said, "I am a feminist." And he said, I owe my presidency to the women of Venezuela, because when he was overthrown, it was women out there in many, many heroic incidences who were out there demanding the return of President Chavez. And now, as the revolution is on to its 17th year, we have communal councils. And in Venezuela, these communal councils most of their members are women. 70% of the members of the communal councils are women. So women are really the forefront of this social change that's going on in Latin America. The communal councils are the ones that determine what are the needs of the communities, what is it that they actually need, and to implement it, okay?
The United Socialist Party of Venezuela, which brought about the Venezuelan Revolution and presently holds the presidency, has made it a rule that 60% of its electoral candidates must be women. The Venezuelan Constitution gives pensions to housewives and guarantees gender equality in the labor force, meaning that if a woman is doing the same job as a man, she gets the same salary. In the U.S., women make 79% of a man's salary for the same job.
Now, Venezuela, according to the UN, is the country in the region with the greatest gender equality, 0.5. So we have women at all kinds of levels. We had a woman who was head of the armed forces. She was the Minister of Defense. And a woman is the head of the Supreme Court. We've had a woman attorney general. Right now, the Minister for Foreign Affairs is a woman. The Director of the Elections Council is a woman. So we have had women in really important positions.
Given their leadership role in the Latin American Revolution and the considerable gains that women have made under it, Dr. Paez calls it a feminist revolution.
You know, the most important thing in a country is that you've got food for your children and you've got medicine for your children when they're sick and that you've got a roof over your head. These are all things that women want, women need, that women are in charge of. And the revolution could just be a revolution of politics. Let us get power. So we are elected, we are now in power. It was, what for? What do you want this power for? And from the very beginning, in Venezuela, the Bolivarian Revolution was, we must provide for a country that was so rich in petroleum and 80% of its people were in misery.
The Latin American Revolution has not only given women national power, but also encouraged the rethinking of gender roles themselves. Marcela Romero is the regional coordinator for the Network of Latin American and Caribbean Trans Women. She is a trans woman from Argentina, and under the government of Cristina Fernandez there, Romero was chosen Woman of the Year by the Argentine legislature in 2009. Romero spoke to us about her vision of a world without patriarchy.
I imagine this as a world where we are all treated as citizens, where we are treated equally, where we don't need to attach labels to people, such as transgender, gay, lesbian. To me, this will be a world in which society will allow us to show who we are, that we are able to do things, that we are empowered, regardless of who we are and our physical abilities, where we can reach our full human potential and we will not be criminalized.
Women ruling countries and positively transforming a continent corresponds to Terry Jean Bedford's vision of women's assertive role in a non-patriarchal world. Bedford is Canada's most famous dominatrix, whose legal challenges resulted in the striking down of important provisions in Canada's prostitution laws in 2010. She forced the Canadian government to stop directly criminalizing prostitution, thereby expanding women's rights.
Yeah, I would like to see a female-dominated society. I really would. I'm a dom. What do you expect? I need men to do my work. I need men to be my slaves. That's politically incorrect, but you're asking a dom. And in my world, I get to design everything. Only when I step out in public do things change. Huh? Yeah, I prefer a man on his knees instead of on all fours or standing erect.
What's the benefit of that for society as a whole?
Well, you can't worship unless you're on your knees, right? And men need to start worshiping women and respecting them as goddesses and fertile beings. You know, the world wouldn't be a very nice place if it was just men, right? And it wouldn't be a very nice place if it was just women. No. Because if you've ever been in a woman's prison, you'll know what I'm talking about. So we need a happy medium. We need the men to listen and obey. And we need women to be more assertive and aggressive in the things that they want.
Tamara James, witch and high priestess of the Wiccan Church of Canada, has a different vision of a world without patriarchy.
I don't want a society that is ruled by women. I want an equal society. I want a society in which people accept each other and work with each other regardless of their sex, their religion, their color, where they came from. We're all human beings with the same needs and wants. We have enough food to feed the world if we could stop fighting each other. We do. We have the capacity to make things better for all of us. But we have to stop being afraid. Because fear is no basis to make any decisions on. You know, fear causes one of two things, fight or flight. And neither of those builds a healthy society.
Kalpana Akhtar, the advocate for women's rights in Bangladesh, believes in equality of the sexes, but also in female leadership.
We definitely want to have equal right, you know, equality rights. World. So what we do in our organization, we do the all trainings with men and women, and we teach the values of women to the men. And we teach them why they need to be under the leadership of a woman workers. And people I know, they really do respect them.
Ending patriarchy and its most destructive manifestation, capitalism, has never been more urgent, as the environmental catastrophe unleashed by 6 centuries of both now threatens the very existence of humanity. For this reason, Selma James thinks that the creation of a global women's movement is more needed today than ever before. James is coordinator of the Global Women's Strike Organization.
You build a women's movement. There is nothing that you can do besides that. Your only hope is what has always been our hope. We build a movement and we change the world. Only this time we have to move quickly. We don't have a lot of time. You know, Greenland is melting. This is a horrendous fact. You know, you can't talk about reproducing the human race when the human race and the whole planet and every living thing on it is being threatened. And these criminally insane multinationals, you know, are talking about using that as a business opportunity and prospecting for oil. There isn't a lot of time to change the world, so we have to build that movement. And we've learned a lot about how the movement was undermined before, how we were not strong enough, how we were not disciplined enough, how we were not mutually accountable enough, how we were not taking into account the divisions. We want unity, but in order to have unity among us, in order to win, we need to acknowledge all the ways we are divided by power between women and men, between white people and people of color, between elderly and young, between people with disabilities, between people who have criminal records. And we have to acknowledge all the power differences among us and address them so we can have a real unity, unity of purpose and unity in struggle.
You've been listening to A World Without Patriarchy, the final episode of the documentary series Women, the Oppressed Majority.
Women, the Oppressed Majority is dedicated to the memory of Queen Nzinga, ruler of the nation of Ndongo, known as Angola today. She successfully resisted Portuguese colonialism and slavery for 40 years, from 1624 to 1664.
This documentary was written by Asad Ismi and produced by Kristen Schwartz. It was written in 2015 and produced in 2016. Go to www.asadismi.info to download the series. That's www.asadismi.info.
Theme music at the start of each episode is Tracy Thorn, Get Her On To It. And at the end is a cover version of the Eurythmics' Sweet Dreams Are Made of This, sung by Emily Browning. This episode also featured the song Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves by Aretha Franklin and Annie Lennox.
Special thanks to Audrey Huntley for conducting the interview with Matilda Lopez Arpachana for this documentary, and special thanks to Susie Alvarez Pocasangre for translating it and voiceover. Thanks also to Susie for the voiceover of Marcela Romero's interview.
This documentary was funded by Canadian Union of Postal Workers National, Public Service Alliance of Canada, Ontario Public Service Employees Union, Ontario Secondary School Teachers Federation, Canadian Union of Public Employees, QP Local 3903, QP Local 4400, Ontario English Catholic Teachers Association, Canadian Labour Congress, Ed Finn, and Don Schmidt.
Thank you for listening.